The first Democratic debate wrapped up last night. The 10 candidates on the stage disagreed on plenty of stuff and often sparred with the frontrunner, Joe Biden, including Kamala Harris, who attacked his record on race.
And just minutes from now, Joe Biden is expected to respond to what happened last night at the Rainbow Push Coalition Convention in Chicago. Let's bring in NPR lead political editor Domenico Montanaro. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there, Jeremy. How's it going?
It's going well. And let's listen to that moment from the debate just to set the stage here. First of all, Kamala Harris, senator from California, challenged Biden on his history with civil rights.
Do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing in America? Then,
no,
do you agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Domenico, first of all, give us the facts here, the background. What was the issue with Biden and busing back in the day?
Well, the fact of the matter is it wasn't very popular among white families in the 1970s to have busing. And it sounds different in a 2019 frame, but that's what the politics of it were then. And you had a group of senators who Biden was trying to work with and someone who considered himself a liberal but didn't like where the American view of where busing was and didn't think it really worked all that well. And in fact, they're sort of sticking to that point today with the Biden campaign saying that they don't think it worked very well. Now, there's other statistics out there that do show that it was integral in integrating schools and giving opportunity to African-Americans who were in other schools in those cities and towns. But what a lot of white families mention and talk about, and something that's in the background, frankly, of what Donald Trump's campaign was like and about, is this sort of white flight idea. You had a lot of white families that left the cities, moved to suburbs, and all that happened in the 1960s and 70s amid busing. And that was what the issue was. Now, I think that this really indicates how far the Democratic Party has changed in just the last 10 years. I mean, you think about Biden, you know, having called Barack Obama, quote unquote, clean and articulate, and Obama put him on the ticket.
Right.
With the presidency of Donald Trump, you know, Democrats, the Democratic base is not giving much of an inch on any of these issues around racial politics, given what's in the White House.
Domenico, are you expecting some kind of damage control from the Biden campaign today?
It's already underway,
yeah.
Pretty heavily. The spin room last night where we had reporters, Scott Detrow and Mara Liasson were in there, and they were full on trying to explain away, well, you know what the former vice president meant to say was, and what he was trying to say is, and it's out of context for what his policies and message and beliefs are. So, you know, this is part of the issue when you have somebody who's been was in the Senate for 40, almost 50 years, and then has to explain everything that he wound up having to do as society has changed and things that were less acceptable then are more acceptable now and vice versa.
Well, Domenico, why was he unprepared for that? Not that specific thing, but a lot of these candidates last night had pre-rehearsed lines. They had pre-rehearsed, you know, interactions. Kamala Harris had a tweet that went out right after she gave that remark to Biden, talked about busing of her as a little girl, a picture of her
with a photo of her.
Right,
yeah.
But why wasn't he ready for that?
Well, that's, you know, it's hard to know whether he was ready or not ready. He clearly didn't come across well in that moment and still hasn't quite figured out. You know, this is somebody who's had a lot of experience, right? And if he's up on stage with a lot of other candidates who don't have that much experience, he feels like he's talking to one section of the party, and yet you have the entire field sort of ganging up on him. And it was an odd thing because it was definitely among the debates that I've seen previously of Biden. This was among the worst he's ever been in.
Another moment that focused on race. Pete Buttigieg, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, moderator Rachel Maddow asked him about why his city's police force doesn't reflect the black population. And this came after an officer-involved shooting of a black man, Eric Logan, earlier this month. Have a listen.
I couldn't get it done. And I'm not allowed to take sides until the investigation comes back. The officer said he was attacked with a knife, but he didn't have his body camera on. It's a mess, and we're hurting. And I could walk you through all of the things that we have done as a community. All of the steps that we took, from bias training to de-escalation, but it didn't save the life of Eric Logan.
Domenico?
Well, it's one of those things that supporters of Pete Buttigieg really like about him. I mean, it's a moment that stands apart in politics where you don't have a lot of candidates who, frankly, fall on their sword about a thing or a mistake that they're responsible for. And he did that, right? Now, there's some risk to that, too, because if he goes and does that, he may win some people over, but others may view it as a weakness, especially trying to compete against someone like Donald Trump, who apologizes for nothing.
Domenico, there were other candidates on the stage last night, a lot of them, including Andrew Yang, the former tech entrepreneur, who is now saying that NBC cut off his mic, and that's maybe why he wasn't heard from that much last night. We don't know the answer to that, but who else stood out to you?
Well, obviously Harris had the big moments of the debate, and she kind of reshaped where she is in this competition. And if you look over two nights, you know, Biden and Beto O'Rourke had the worst two nights by far of the candidates and may have really damaged their candidacies. You know, their biggest hope, frankly, has to be that not that many people were tuning in, you know, that they were watching other things and that people will give them a chance. You know, Biden has a deep reservoir of support within the party and good feelings. So you can't completely write him off after one night, but it really raises the stakes for him for the next debate. Elizabeth Warren was very consistent on that first night and is still obviously going to be part of the conversation. I think that this field, clearly made itself into about half a dozen candidates who I think Democratic voters see as a potential nominee.
It almost seemed as if the first debate helped influence the candidates in the second debate about their strategies for how they were going to talk to each other and how they're going to debate.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that some of the campaigns noticed, that if you interrupt, if you interject, you'll be able to get in the pool. Whereas the first night, they were sort of cautious and wondering, you know, where will they go? How will they let us jump in? Will they want us to do so? They decided to focus on themselves and their policies that first night. The second night, totally different story.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we're a long way from the caucuses in Iowa, even though it seems like these debates, they matter. But, you know, I remember, Domenico, back in 2008, Barack Obama was not leading in the polls until after he won in Iowa.
Well, Barack Obama was always kind of right there within striking distance, though. It's not like he was, you know, some, you know, one percenter. You know,
right.
This is not somebody.
But anything can happen now.
You know, anything can happen, but these debates do reshape a lot of what happens, which is, I guess, part of the point of not looking necessarily at those polls and what, you know, the front runner status, this or that, and that necessarily lasts. Things can change, and there are multiple debates between now and the Iowa caucuses.
It's NPR lead political editor Domenico Montanaro. Domenico, thanks.
You're welcome.